This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If you're at all familiar with the X-Files, you might know that they had two different kinds of episodes. There were the mythology episodes, which focused on the overarching government conspiracy plot, and these episodes were heavily serialized. Then there were the so-called Monster of the Week episodes, which were standalone cases that were entirely self-contained. The mythology episodes would advance the larger story week by week, but left most things completely unresolved, or they might answer one mystery while raising new questions, whereas you could watch a Monster of the Week episode all by itself. So for Deadeyes, if you've been listening, obviously the Tom Hanks Band of Brothers story is our mythology. It's the thing that we're exploring and trying to gradually work towards some sort of resolution, whether it's tracking down my original audition tape or getting into the room to re-audition for Tom Hanks. Well, we're not going to talk about any of that in this episode, because this is a Monster of the Week episode, a completely self-contained show business casting mystery featuring me and the makers of a major Hollywood motion picture, and a role that I did not get to play for a character who ultimately did not get to appear in the movie he was created for. This is the story of Gary the Masturbator. Brandon, you and I are both actors.
We are.
And you and I both auditioned for the movie Isn't It Romantic?
Yes.
But you auditioned for a larger part, right? I saw the movie Isn't It Romantic in the theater on the day it came out, which is not something I do very often these days. It's actually pretty rare for me to see a new movie on a Friday. But in this case, it was because a good friend of mine, someone who I perform with a lot in improv shows over the years, has a big role in the movie. His name is Brandon Scott Jones. Call him BSJ. And he's one of the funniest and most talented people I've ever met.
Do you audition for creeps a lot?
No. I would never do like sort of like the, but I would do usually like the weird one in the office or something. I think I sort of like split off and started going heavily into homosexual and gay man.
Right.
Or queer man.
Or?
Light in his loafers. A Neil Patrick Harris type.
BSJ is someone you might have seen in the last couple of seasons of The Good Place. He played John Wheaton, the blogger who has a website called The Gossip Toilet. And in the movie Isn't It Romantic, he plays Rebel Wilson's stereotypically gay best friend, Donnie.
When I went to see Isn't It Romantic in the theater, there was a group of us that we all went to see you in the movie. Mm. And it wasn't until it was ending that I started to like remember. Most of my audition for this was me pretending to masturbate. Nobody in this movie masturbated.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, like,
did they cast someone else to be Gary the Masturbator? Did they film his scenes? If so, at what point was this character cut from the film? Maybe it only made it to the script phase. And not to make this all about me, but how close did I come to booking this role? Is there a world where if I had been cast as Gary the Masturbator, he would have remained in the film? Or was this character fundamentally doomed from the start? I genuinely didn't know the answers to any of these questions until I spoke to people involved in the making of the film. What happened to Gary the Masturbator? It's like a murder mystery, but about a fictional character who was erased from existence. And you wouldn't even have known about him if I wasn't doing this podcast. This is exciting, right? This is a real mystery, and we're going to solve it in like 30 minutes.
This is Deadeyes,
Gary the Masturbator. Okay, so I auditioned for a lot of creeps. parts with a few lines who do something disgusting and then you don't see them ever again. So it was not unusual when I received an email with an appointment to audition for three small roles that all sounded like scumbags. This is what I do for a living. The premise of the movie is that Rebel Wilson plays a woman who is unhappy with her life, and then she magically wakes up to find herself living in a Hollywood romantic comedy, a rom-com, with all of its familiar tropes and plot devices. An unrealistically gorgeous apartment, a stereotypical gay best friend, and no content that wouldn't be allowed in a PG-13 movie. The roles I would be reading for were Bearded Guy, Shadier Guy, and Gary. Bearded Guy tries to mug Rebel Wilson. Shadier Guy seems like he's going to mug her, but he doesn't. And Gary, well, Gary masturbates in front of Rebel Wilson. Twice.
Right, because in the scene, she looks out the window and sees a guy masturbate. I had forgotten about that character, too. But that character was at the table read. I remember that.
What do you remember from the table read? Did that moment get a reaction?
I don't remember it getting a huge reaction. But I remember the window in her apartment in the set.
So you saw the window that Gary was seen through?
I believe I have. That he was seen through. The joke was that it was a close apartment building and she could see him, yes, in the frame.
Did you ever talk to Rebel about the character of Gary?
No, she's been in Australia. I wanted to, and I'm still planning on just like asking her what she thought, because she was an EP on that movie. Mm-hmm. And so she would definitely have a perspective that I don't have as another actor.
But you never, like when you were shooting, she was never like, now I got to go film this masturbation scene.
I got to go do the Gary the Masturbator. I do remember there's a scene in the very beginning of the movie where she comes out after had just seeing him, and then she runs into my character. Mm-hmm. So she's just yelled at him. They filmed it, obviously. So like she was carrying that with her in the performance. So right. Like it as an Easter egg, even though it's not in the film.
It lives on in the energy of that moment.
In the energy of that moment.
If you're aware that this character might have been.
Yes.
This is going to take me back to a very challenging time in my life.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm excited.
BSJ put me in touch with the director of the film, Todd Strauss-Schulson. Todd agreed to speak with me, even though I was completely upfront with him about what we would be talking about. So I auditioned for Isn't It Romantic? And actually...
But you didn't find the audition.
No, I haven't found the audition tape yet. Oh. I've emailed the casting people. They have not responded.
I'm doing a podcast about this thing that I did 3 years ago.
I auditioned for three roles. I auditioned for Gary, Bearded Guy, and Shadier Guy. Bearded Guy is the one who mugs Rebel Wilson's character in reality in the first part of it. So,
and does not have a beard in the movie.
No, but he was written as Bearded Guy. That's a mystery for another time. We're not going to solve, unless maybe you know, why did Bearded Guy suddenly become clean-shaven guy?
I know the answer to this.
What is that?
Because Bearded Guy needed to do a lot of stunts, and we thought it would be easier to cast a stunt person than just an actor. A person that could do both would be helpful because they could do the fight choreography themselves.
So I never had a chance.
You never had a chance.
So that was a practical concern. Shadier Guy, I don't recall if Shadier Guy is in the movie, because there's someone where she's trying to get someone to mug her.
Yeah.
I don't remember that being in the movie.
That is very briefly in it, I think. That ended up being one of the writers' husband.
Gotcha.
So nepotism.
All right.
Two mysteries
down, three to go. So I probably didn't have a chance at that one either.
No, probably not.
And then we get to Gary, the part of Gary the Masturbator. Now, I'm calling him Gary the Masturbator. He's just referred to in the sides here as Gary. But all he does in his two scenes is masturbate.
Furiously, yeah. In the window.
In the window. So this is basically...
staring at his neighbor through his own window, yeah.
Natalie throws open the curtains to reveal a brick building 4 feet away. So it's like a narrow alleyway. A creepy guy in the window jerks off. So even in the scene directions, he's referred to as a creepy guy in all caps. Natalie says, "Gross, Gary, let it be."
then the whole movie happens, basically.
Yeah, 90 minutes of a movie happens.
And then we're back to reality. So we're in the final act of It's a Wonderful Life. We're back to the real version of things. She runs to the window, throws it open, sees Gary jerking off again. She's so happy. Natalie says, "Gary, I've never been so happy to see you jerking off." And then Gary gets his one line, "You're ruining this for me."
And then in a later script, Gary did, in fact, ejaculate at the end of that second moment.
Really?
Yeah. She goes, "You're ruining this for me." And she's just like, it's like the end of Wizard of Oz. She's like, "Oh, everything that I used to think was terrible is just so great." And she would turn around and face the camera and just with a big smile on her face be like, "I'm home." And in the background, you would hear him coming.
Right.
So it would be like she was having her emotional catharsis
right.
while this disgusting guy in the background was having a physical one, which I thought was so clever.
Right.
Is it worse to have not gotten it, or would it have been worse to have gotten it, made your parents sit through it opening night, or to have gotten it and then been cut out?
The best of those scenarios is getting it and my parents watching it, because I'm not really embarrassed about that. They get what the deal is. I've done worse things in improv shows that they've been in the audience for, where it's entirely my choice. You know what I mean? Where I have the freedom to not do it. And I've done worse things in auditions.
Ooh, like what?
I don't even know. Well, I had to audition for The Deuce, the David Simon show, and I really wanted to be in a David Simon show. The part I was auditioning for, I was auditioning for two roles. One of them ended up, and I didn't realize this when I was reading for it. I assume I would have been told before I got to a certain point, but there might have been pressure. When I was watching the first episodes of it, there's a character that turns out to, he's completely naked sitting in a chair in the corner. And I thought, well, at first I thought he was wearing like a weird Speedo with like a patterned crotch. Then he stood up and walked close to the camera, and I realized it was just very 1970s, like bushy pubic hair. But when he walked up close, I'm like, oh, that pattern was just full on his genitalia. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't have wanted that part because he doesn't do that much. It's not like Bad Lieutenant where it's like you have the rest of the movie to show off your performance. But the other part was a guy who calls a pimp the N-word and then is immediately stabbed to death.
Jesus Christ.
And those were the sides. So that's what they watched all day.
Someone screamed the N-word and then fake being stabbed.
I didn't scream it. I think they said it aggressively, and then you'd go, ah, and pretend. Marvel movies write whole scenes just so you don't find out what happens to Iron Man. So I'm like, you can come up with fake sides. It had to be exactly what's in the episode, you know? So anyway, I audition for Gary, and then nothing comes of it. And then I see the movie, and Gary's not in it.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you know the answer to this question.
I do.
And I'm going to ask you, what happened to Gary, the masturbator?
Well.
And of course, this is the perfect moment to take a quick break. We'll be right back, I promise.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay. Sorry we had to do that. I won't make you wait any longer. Back to Todd, right as he's about to solve this mystery.
It went on for a year editing that movie and like a million audience tests. And for the longest time, we were doing good but not great. And Gary the Masturbator was shot. I did cast somebody. We'd built that window outside the window, so we had like a little like corner vestibule of the building. We did shoot it. He did jerk off. I did do the moment where she has her emotional release and he has his physical one. We did put it into the movie. It was in the movie for the longest time, maybe 7 months of the year, 8 months of the year long of editing. But the audience of the movie was primarily women, and our beginning was particularly long. And having a kind of a raunchy joke right out the gate, that happens like minute two, probably hurt us ultimately. And so right at the end, so many things were these weird conflicts where I was like, but that's so funny, or but that shot's so great, or but that music cue is cool. And then like four old dudes would be like, no, it's coming out. And then you'd get into a little bit of an argument. And sometimes they were right, and I was being intractable, and sometimes they were wrong. And this one was something I guess we all kind of ultimately agreed on. We're like, we don't want to turn anyone off before we even turn them, you know, get them in.
I would imagine that's a very tricky thing because you're looking at, like, data. You're getting numbers back, which is like, well, they really didn't like this part.
Yeah, you get, like, the data back on the cards. But no one was like, favorite characters, Rebel Wilson, Gary the Masturbator. But you could sit in a theater.
Feel it.
Yeah, you feel where the energy sags or where what should be a big laugh is nothing. And you're like, well, those got to go, I guess.
Like, you would know if Gary the Masturbator was really a hit with audiences.
It got gone because it wasn't getting big laughs, and there was a potential that it was even a tonal turnoff really early on, and it was just eating up screen time.
Right. I'm friends with another actor in the film, James Dwyer, who plays a character who also refuses to mug Rebel Wilson right after we see Shadier Man turn down her request. It occurred to me that James probably auditioned for all of the same characters that I did, so I gave him a call. You and I often run into each other at auditions, auditioning for creeps.
Yes, a lot of creeps or like old virgins, things like that.
Did you play the old virgin in that What We Do in the Shadows? That was the last audition that I saw you at. It was like an old virgin.
Yeah, I booked old virgin.
Do you remember when you auditioned for Isn't It Romantic? Did you audition for a character named Gary who masturbates?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, it just occurred to me. I saw you in the movie, and then I was like, oh, there's no way that they didn't see James for the masturbator.
Oh, for sure.
And then one of the scenes was just auditioning for Gary, and it was like pretending to masturbate.
This sounds really, yeah, I think it changed in the movie, but, or maybe it didn't. No, wait, I think I know who booked that role. I feel like Big J. Okerson might have gone out for, no, that's, I don't know why I'm throwing his name out there. I don't know if he did that.
No, he did. I was trying to get a hold of him. I had emailed him to, I'm doing a whole episode about Gary the Masturbator.
Well, I hope this was helpful then.
I tried getting in touch with the comedian Jay Okerson, who was the person who was cast as Gary the Masturbator, because I figured if I was going to do an episode about Gary the Masturbator, I should talk to the guy who filmed those two scenes. He was Gary the Masturbator, officially. I wanted to ask him what he did for his audition, what it was like to film those scenes, and how he found out he'd been cut from the movie. But I never got a response to my email. And listen, I understand. If you got an email from someone you didn't know that said, I'm doing a podcast about how I got fired by Tom Hanks, we want to do a special episode about why Gary the Masturbator didn't make it into the movie, that email probably goes right into the garbage. There are probably even multiple keywords in there that send it directly to your spam folder. For what it's worth, there are a few of Okerson's fans on Twitter who have tweeted about watching the movie Isn't It Romantic, expecting to see him in it, only to be disappointed. And Okerson responded to one of them. This is from last November 2019. The person tweets,
okay, so where in the film Isn't It Romantic do you appear? You're shown in the credits and shit, but me and my buddy didn't see you there, LOL.
Okerson tweets back,
cut my scenes because of rating content, but left my name in credits. So weird.
The person then replies,
yeah, that's kind of weird. What kind of character was Gary? LOL.
And that's the end of the conversation. Okerson doesn't respond again. This is the first I've heard of Gary being cut because of the film rating, but that makes sense. There are three credited screenwriters on the movie Isn't Romantic. I tried reaching out to them, but didn't hear anything back, which might be okay, because as it turns out, they might not have even had the Gary character in any of the earliest drafts of the script.
Even neighbor?
Yeah, Gary.
Todd gave me the names of two other writers who did a final pass on the screenplay with him close to shooting.
Like, doesn't he yell at her to be quiet at some point, maybe? There's like a joke like that?
Yeah.
They aren't credited, but their names are Sam Pittman and Adam Cole Kelly. And when I called them on the phone, they told me that they thought Gary the Masturbator was added to the script after a table read.
I feel like I'm reminding you guys of this character, that this is a character that not only didn't make it into the movie, but was easily, it has become a memory, you know, because he's a discarded part of the final product.
I think we wrote the "You're ruining it for me" line. That seems like something I seem to remember you coming up with, but like, I don't think we came up with.
And I think it might have been a roundtable pitch. I really it could have been. We can't say with certainty. We could look at drafts.
Oh yeah,
and probably figure out like when we first got the script if he was in there.
They looked up two versions of the script that they had, one before the table read and one after. Gary only appears in the latter version. Their recollection, and no one is 100% clear on any of this, but this is what they remember, is that maybe it was actually a studio executive who pitched the idea. Or maybe it was someone else in the room, but they definitely think that Gary was born at that table read. They even have a record of when that table read occurred, so we know the precise date that Gary the Masturbator was born. Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. And appropriately, if we can trust this memory, Gary was conceived by one man, alone, in front of a room full of people.
I still wish Gary was in the movie. Only for me, not for any other audience member.
This is director Todd again.
It kept on getting chiseled down. It went through visual effects. We raised up the windowsill ledge higher so you could see less of his arm. We blurred it out more digitally so that you would feel it but not really clearly see it. Like, it kept on getting more and more diminished, just trying to hold on to this thing that we all liked. It wasn't just me. We all thought it was funny, but an audience didn't like it. So you're like, how do we keep it without it being quite so off-putting or offensive or just, like, gross? Like, no one wants this movie to
be
gross.
Death by a thousand cuts.
You know, by then, after so many months, you're like, I just fucking kill it already. It's just ugly to look at it now. It's just died. It's just dead. Died. It died.
On the one hand, this is such a small little thing. And yet, the more we talk about it, a lot of work went into this very small two-moment thing in the movie that didn't make it in. Like, there were a lot of people who were invested in making this moment work. Like, there were, you're saying there were special effects were being deployed.
It's true. That's true. They're in the edit. There were three editors and me. And, there's visual effects house getting turnovers, trying to fix this, screenings, conversations, email chains. What do we do about it? I like it. Yeah. Hit a studio. I like it too. I think we keep it, but maybe we're just trying to tighten it up a little bit.
Sound like, I was imagining that maybe there were people who were actively trying to get Gary the Masturbator cut from the film, but it sounds like everyone just realized at a certain point that it needed to go.
I would say that one of the personal tensions of making this one was, as the edit was evolving, I started to question whether I was in the personal expression business or like the service industry. Am I making this as a gift for people that want to come see this, regardless of my own personal, you know, what I wish could have been or would like? Or am I in the self-expression business where I'm just trying to make a kind of a meta postmodern rom-com filled with feeling and hilarious jokes and charm that rises a little bit above the fray?
Right.
And that was always, I think, ultimately one of the push and pull things of the conversations. And sometimes I wanted to push it really bananas and I got reined in. And sometimes they wanted to push it really centrist. It probably ended up in a decent spot because, you know, most people that were going to go see that movie already really love it. But yeah, something like Gary or some shots.
It sounds like if there was in a world where there was no testing process, where you just had to put it out blind, Gary would have made it.
Yeah, I think Gary would have probably made it. But I don't even know if that's necessarily a good thing. I don't know if that's a pro or, you know, a for or against the testing process.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my mother, who loves that movie, and it was the thing that I was like, oh, mom's going to love that movie, hated the Gary. She's like, well, does it really have to do masturbate jokes? I was like, okay.
You talked about Gary with your mother.
She saw a cut of it with Gary in there.
I can't believe that there's a version of this conversation where we wrap it up before I find out that fact. You discussed Gary the Masturbator with your mother, and she voiced a complaint. This is not irrelevant.
Oh, yeah?
Especially if we're just talking about, you know, am I in the service industry or in the personal expression business? When a family member, does her I assume her opinion means something to you. I immediately convinced Todd that we had to call his mother on the phone. She could be the key to all of this. I mean, we just had to, right?
Oh, you sound happy. Ha 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 ha. I just walked in. What's up?
Hi, Claudia.
Hi, Connor.
My question is kind of a weird one.
Okay.
I auditioned for a part in this movie, and I didn't get the part. And I was wondering if you remembered anything from the movie that you didn't like, that you were glad was cut out of the movie.
The first thing that comes to my mind is the opening at one point became much slower than it is now. In other words, it had a good pace. It was edited to too slow so that you didn't move from the opening into the story.
I'll go ahead and tell you, there was a part, one of the parts I auditioned for was a guy who, she opens up her window and there's a man standing there and he's pleasuring himself in full view. And she's disgusted by him.
That would have also made the opening too long, but I'm glad that that's gone.
That's fascinating. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing that.
That's it?
That's it. Yeah, that's all I wanted to know.
Okie doke.
Because you're one of the few people, I auditioned for that part and I didn't get it.
That particular part you auditioned for?
I auditioned for a few parts, but that was one of them.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't get it. It wasn't memorable, clearly.
thank you so much, Claudia. Have a nice day.
Okay. All righty.
Okay,
bye-bye.
I'll call you. Bye.
I wanted to track down my audition tape for the role of Gary the Masturbator, but it wasn't easy. Nobody could find it. And it was actually kind of embarrassing to keep asking people to look for it. Todd went back and located the original email where they had sent him my audition, but the link to the video file had expired a long time ago. But he did find an email where the casting directors were talking about me. It was from a point in the process where they had already looked at some people for a few of the smaller roles, and the powers that be at New Line Cinema now wanted to see actors who were, and this is their description, sleazy but cute. And they spelled sleazy with two E's before immediately saying, let's add Connor Ratliff. And this is barely worth mentioning, but both of my names are misspelled. Someone else responds, good idea, in all caps. So just to summarize that, sleazy but cute, let's add Connor Ratliff, good idea. I know this entire podcast is the very definition of self-indulgent, but I have to tell you that I really enjoyed seeing this email. On the spectrum of insult to compliment in this business, I would place sleazy but cute among the most flattering descriptions I have ever been on the receiving end of. And this was behind my back, so it counts double. You know they meant it. Despite the small bit of progress, I was starting to get the feeling that maybe I was never going to track down my audition video. Maybe it was gone. Deleted. Lost forever. And that made me sad. Not for me, but for Gary, the masturbator. Because I'm a real person, I can just go on with my life, but Gary is a fictional character, which means he only gets to live if people can somehow know about him. And in his case, the process failed Gary completely. He didn't even make it onto the deleted scenes in the Isn't It Romantic Blu-ray. And even though the movie was relatively well-received and continues to find an audience on streaming, it's not the kind of film that is likely to be reissued by the Criterion Collection in 20 years with 45 minutes of additional footage. It's hard to imagine a scenario where someone digs back into the vault to retrieve those cut scenes of Gary the Masturbator. Which is doubly poignant because all Gary ever really wanted was to be seen. That was his whole deal. But only a few people ever actually saw him. People who were making the movie, a small handful of test audiences, and Rebel Wilson's character in the movie. But for the general public, this podcast is probably the most attention that Gary the Masturbator will ever receive. And maybe that's enough. Perhaps the world was never meant to see or hear Gary the Masturbator. Maybe, ultimately, it's better this way. That's how I was going to end this episode. But then, they found my audition tape. A few quick things before I play it for you. It's 20 seconds long, and I believe they started recording after I had already been pretending to masturbate for at least 5 or 10 seconds. It's kind of a mess, to be honest. The casting director is throwing additional lines at me, and for some reason, I decided to sort of turn my back to the camera because I think I thought it would be more convincing. So visually, it looks kind of upsetting because you can't really see what I'm doing. Anyway, here it is. My audition for Gary the Masturbator.
Gary, I've never been so happy to see you jerking off!
You're ruining this for me.
Huh?
It's not good if you like it.
Oh, I hate it, Gary. But I'm really happy to see you. It's great. Keep doing it.
I want to.
So there you have it. If you want to see the video, we'll put it up on Twitter and YouTube where it'll presumably live forever. Looking at it now, I think they were probably right not to cast me. In our next episode, we'll shift our focus back to the character of Private Zelinsky in Band of Brothers, but I'm happy that we were able to spend this one talking about Gary the Masturbator. Not just for him, but for the countless other minor fictional characters who have ended up on the cutting room floor, discarded, forgotten forever, along with all the actors out there who played them or tried to. Characters we'll never meet or even hear about. Gary the Masturbator was only ever supposed to say one thing. You're ruining this for me. And now you've heard that. So even though he's not a part of the movie, if you made it all the way to the end of this episode, my prediction is that you will remember him for the rest of your life, whether you want to or not. On your deathbed, if someone says to you, "Hey, who was Gary the Masturbator?" I'll bet a lot of you will be able to say, "Oh, that was the character that was cut out of that movie. I listened to a podcast about him once." You're welcome. Dead Eyes is a production of HeadGum Studios. It was created by me, Connor Ratliff. It's written by me, and it's mostly me that you hear talking, including now. The show is produced and edited by Harry Nelson and Mike Comite. Special thanks to my guests, Brandon Scott Jones, Todd Strauss-Schulson, James Dwyer, Sam Pittman, Adam Cole Kelly, and especially Todd's mom, Dr. Claudia Strauss-Schulson. If you like Dead Eyes, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us on Twitter at Dead Eyes Podcast, and talk about us nicely on social media. Please tell your friends about this show, especially if you are friends with Tom Hanks, who, to the best of my knowledge, has never played a character named Gary. He has played Rick, an Elliot, a Gordon, Robbie, Dwayne, Kip, Buffy, Alan, Ned, Rick, Lawrence, Richard, Walter, David, Pep, Stephen, Josh, Scott, Ray, Sherman, Joe, Baxter, Mike, Jimmy, Sam, Andy, Forrest, Woody, Jim, Joe, John, Jean-Luc, Paul, Chuck, Michael, Carl, Abraham, Charles, Jacob, Daniel, Victor, Santa, Goldthwait, Elvis, Robert, Tom, Charlie, Larry, Cleveland, Henry, Isaac, Derman, Zachary, Walt, Matthew, James, Chesley, Gene, Allen, Ben, Bailey, and Fred, but never a Gary. Unless I missed one in there somewhere. He did, however, play a Larry. Larry Crown, the title character in his second feature film as a writer-director. And he was a Lawrence in the movie Volunteers. That counts as a Larry, so two Larrys, no Garys. And you can tell him I said that. Actually, no, don't. He doesn't need to know about this episode. Tell him about all the other ones. Hey, so listen. Dead Eyes will return with new episodes in a few weeks. Part of the reason for this short break is that I had to go on the road for a job, and as a working actor and comedian, I really don't have a lot of control over my schedule. When work comes along, I have to go where the work is. And who knows, maybe this job will go very badly, and I'll get fired, and I'll come back with something else to tell you about on the podcast. I hope not, but one never knows. In the meantime, if you have any questions you want to ask me, you can email deadeyespodcast@gmail.com. But I'm very excited to get back to you with more episodes of Dead Eyes as soon as possible. Thank you so much for listening. See you soon.
That was a HeadGum Original.